Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This week in Monsters Who Murder, we continue our commentary on the interrogation of 15-year-old Alyssa Bustamante. To recap, on the afternoon of October 21, 2009, 9-year-old Elizabeth Alton spent the afternoon playing outside with Alyssa's younger sister. The rule was for Elizabeth to return home in time for dinner, but when Elizabeth didn't return, her mother set out to remind her daughter that she should have come home well before now. Mrs. Alton spotted Emma, Alyssa's sister, who had been playing with Elizabeth, and asked her where her daughter was. The 6-year-old said that Elizabeth had headed home a while ago. Alarmed that her daughter was missing, Mrs. Alton called police, and soon a team that included FBI agents had arrived to search the town for the missing 9-year-old. Emma told police that while the two young girls had been playing, 15-year-old Alyssa had decided to join them. When other leads failed, attentions turned to the teenager. It would be during an interrogation that Alyssa would eventually confess to killing Elizabeth.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions.
Police found 27 corpses.
Australia's worst serial killer.
Even though I didn't want to get in the car, I had to.
With Amanda Howlett and Robert McKnight.
Hello there, I'm Rob McKnight. You can find me at Rob_McKnight on Twitter. And yes, it's true. All the rumours that you've heard, they're all true. I am joined by the serial killer whisperer, true crime author, and criminologist Amanda Howard. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Robert. It always worries me when you start talking about like secrets and things like that because you do know everything. So.
I do know everything. And don't think I haven't noticed the little nose pierce that you've got.
Yeah, it's my year of not giving an F, so that's what I'm doing, and that includes getting my nose pierced.
I love how you refrain from saying fuck. We say it every other time on this podcast, but yeah, sure, pull it back now.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, I try.
Now, Amanda, just before we left the last episode, we, of course, saw the diary entry, which had been scrubbed out but revealed, where she admits killing this girl.
Yeah, they talked about that she had written down that she had slit the girl's throat. So, and they were the two first words that they were able to undecipher from that scribbled out mess. So they kind of knew straight away what was happening. So it was amazing that they kept that a secret through half of the interrogation until we got to this point where she realised now that they know more than they were letting her know.
Okay, let's pick up with the interrogation. And just to remind people, inside that small room, we have Officer Dave Rice, Juvenile Officer Toby Meyer, who is there as an advocate due to Alyssa's age, and, of course, Alyssa's grandmother, Karen Brooke. Alyssa is front and centre on the camera, and when she arrived, she assumed she just had to answer a few more questions. That was until Rice brought up the fact that investigators had gone through her diary, including the final page that Alyssa had written about killing someone. That's the one we just saw. The diary entry read, "I just fucking killed someone. I strangled them and slit their throat and stabbed them. And now they're dead. I don't know how to feel at the moment. It was amazing. As soon as you get over the, oh my God, I can't do this feeling, it's pretty enjoyable. I'm kind of nervous and shaky though right now. Kay, I got to go to church now. Lol." Now, Amanda, that is actually frightening stuff to read, the relaxed attitude of that diary entry, and then "I got to go to church now, lol." Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't really understand the magnitude of what she's done. You know, she's saying it's an oh my God, I can't do this. Like she's talking about, you know, stepping up on stage to do a speech at school or something, not about ending someone's life and being prepared for that. And as we knew in episode one, she was talking about digging graves and was burying animals and stuff like that. That this to her is just an oh my God moment. It's chilling to think that she's only 15.
And, of course, if you haven't seen part one of this interrogation, I suggest you go back to the last episode and listen to the episode or watch the episode through patreon.com/MWMconfessions or Uscreen at Monsters Who Murder or mwm.uscreen.io. All right, let's pick up on the interrogation. Both Rice and Maya have asked Alyssa to tell the truth, and as we often see, they actually offer an alternative.
If this was an accident, that's fine, but we need the truth. We have to know the truth. That's all I'm asking for, is whatever happened. I have to know the truth. This is not going to go away. All I'm asking for is the truth.
I don't know what's in the diary. I don't know the truth.
That's what I'm asking. Tell us what happened. If this was an accident, that's fine. We can deal with that. But I have to know what happened. I have to know what the truth was. I have to know how this happened. And the most important thing is, we have to know where she's at. We have to give this family some closure. Just like if this is your little sister, you would want closure.
It's actually quite clever how they're relating it back to Alyssa's own sister, Amanda.
It is, and just at that last second, we actually see that she's thinking, oh, yeah, she's finally understanding the absolute magnitude of what she's done, you know, to think, oh, if this was my sister, how I would feel, because she adored her younger siblings regardless that she found them annoying and things like that, you know, but by offering a different scenario, they're sort of going through, you know, is this a possibility? Because she will actually go into that a bit further when they offer this scenario again. But it's just so interesting how she sort of thinks about it then for a very final moment, like, oh, yeah, you know. But the secondary thing is that they really don't believe that she has done it. They believe that she's an accomplice to her boyfriend, that, you know, maybe it was like a teenage thing that they did together. So it's very interesting that, you know, they're trying to get her to sort of say something about another scenario.
Yeah, but that diary entry is pretty emphatic. I also found it interesting during that clip, I felt like if you watch her on the video feed, you can actually see her mulling over whether to just come clean about everything. Was my interpretation anyway.
No, that's absolutely perfect. She is trying to understand how she can get from A to B now, because they're going to go through the whole alphabet, but she realizes that there is an end game here and she doesn't know if the end game is going to be the truth or if it's going to be something else that she might come up with. And by them now offering these deals and, you know, was it an accident? You know, did she fall over? All this sort of stuff. It will make her realize that she might have a get out of jail free card and sort of exonerate herself. And maybe, you know, the slit throat was because, you know, she'd hit her head or something like that. But she's now thinking that there could be another way out of this.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think of how else you get a slit throat like that. But anyway, all right.
Yep.
But Price has her cornered. And so he's now going to get her to start back at the beginning one more time. Another tactic we see many, many times, because it'll be interesting to see whether her story changes now that she knows a little bit more of the information they've got. Let's take a look.
Let's start at the beginning. Is this something that was planned out, or was this just an accident?
It was an accident.
Okay. Well, this is a starting point then. That's kind of what I thought. why don't we start with, why don't we start with what happened? Did you get home from school at 3:30?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, for those not on the video feed, what we just saw there was Maya. She keeps looking over to the grandmother, Amanda, and because this is obviously quite distressing, I couldn't quite hear what she said at the end, but it just seemed to be something like, are you all right? And she's actually interrupting the flow of what Price is doing, trying to talk. And, you know, it, I didn't really feel like it was the time to speak up there.
Yeah, because what is happening, yeah, and as you said too, see, is a lot easier than just hearing the sound of it. But Karen's now crying, Alyssa's now crying as well, and Maya sort of says to Karen, do you want to step out? And like Price just puts his hand up. This is not the moment for a toilet break. She stuffed it last time, and now he's saying no. We're now on a roll. There is now a confession that has been made that she is responsible for the girl's death. And so now they have to work out how and why, if it's an accident, if there was someone else involved. But Karen's now just broken. So we're going to see her crumble. And it's heartbreaking to watch. But we've got now a confession. Are you happy, Robert? We have a bloody confession.
Yes. Yeah. But I want a true confession, not just an accident, if it wasn't an accident. So there's still more I could get out of this episode. But yes, I've wanted, this is called Monsters Who Murder Serial Killer Confessions, Confessions, Confessions. So yes, I'm pleased about that. All right. Rice is now completely focused. And as you said, nothing is going to interrupt these next few minutes. And finally, Amanda, after 15 seasons, we actually get to see a wet tissue.
You got home at 3:30? Mm-hmm. And then what happened from there?
Out in the forest. Like I said. Elizabeth is okay.
Yeah. Yes. Elizabeth was there in the forest?
Yes.
Was she alone?
Yeah. We decided to go hang out because it was a nice day.
That feels like a bit of a bullshit moment, Amanda.
Yeah, it was. And I think like I'm going to go off on a segue here, but I think we need to make sort of we need to make bingo cards where we can sort of tick off, yeah, that's the bullshit, that's the wet tissue, that's, you know. I just think that might be a bit of fun. But yeah, absolutely, she's going to lie because she's now forgetting that the slit, the throat, because he has said we can read that, but he hasn't said we've read it word for word and this is what we know it says. That comes later. She's sort of saying now.
So he hasn't read out to her I mean, we've read it. That's why I assume she's aware of what
she knows. She knows what it says.
Yes.
Yeah, but she knows what it says. So he's saying that I know that you know that I know that you know, basically. So he's letting her play around with that because at this point he knows it says slit throat. So now she's saying, oh, she just fell over and hit her head. So we have our bullshit because now she's got to go with the accident scenario because he's provided that for her. If that's actually what happened, people would say straight up, oh, my God, she fell over. I didn't know what to do. I panicked. And that's where this one has started an hour and a half ago, not where we are now. You know, and the fact that we have a wet tissue is because she has now had a massive release of adrenaline because everything has just come out. She has now said that she's responsible for this girl's death, whether an accident or by design. That's what's happened. And Karen sort of went to her grab a tissue for herself. And Rye says, you know, can you grab one for her too? Because she was crying. We have a wet tissue. They're a bit of crocodile tears, but she is literally crying. And we'll see what tissue does for a person who's confessing.
It's not crocodile tears. She is crying for herself.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of that theme coming up.
Yeah. And let's be honest, even Dickhead Derek, he's read this diary and even he knows this is bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why she's trying to fake this, that this is the scenario that she's going to go with. They've mentioned the diary. They said they can read it. He didn't sit there and read it out to her because he knows what it said. Well, he knows enough of what it says. She knows exactly what it says. You know, she's not going to say, oh, yeah, she bumped her head and so I scribbled it out. Like, it's obvious, you know, and Karen now is just a mess. I just feel for her so much.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, it's going to get worse for her. After spending a few moments crying, Alyssa picks up her story from where she left off. This is an interesting part. Rice didn't prompt her. She just picks up completely without being prompted by Rice.
Dustin and the rest of those folks are going to have to take polygraphs. Did you tell Dustin?
I didn't tell him.
Did you just tell Kyle? If you did, that's fine, but we have to know the truth now. Who did you tell?
No one.
Why did you dig that hole? Was that for her? When did you dig that hole? You dug it ahead of time, didn't you?
I dug that hole on Wednesday.
Before you played with her?
Yes.
When we go and get the body here, there'll be an autopsy. And it doesn't matter. I work a lot of homicides. It doesn't matter whether the body's burned or not. They'll go through and do an autopsy.
Okay.
And then we'll discover every injury on her body and the cause of death. And I understand you say she fell, and that's why she died. However, they will know from the autopsy if she was shot, if she was hit in the head, if her throat was cut. They will know all of that from the autopsy. So we need to know the truth, because at the end of the autopsy, they will know exactly how she died. So we need to know now the full truth, full disclosure, right now, so it doesn't come out later that, well, Alyssa wasn't telling the full truth again. We need to have it all come out now.
He really is dropping hints about what he knows. Like, in amongst a whole lot of other stuff, he mentions about a throat. But you feel she's still lying?
Of course she is, because she's going through saying that she burnt it. It is so hard to burn a body. And when there's FBI and sheriffs and police out there looking for a 9-year-old girl, is she really going to be having a bonfire saying, yeah, it's got nothing to do with this, that's fine. Like, they would have seen a fire. They would have noticed a fire.
Good point.
it's just so crazy. But the interesting part, as you said, he threw out the slit throats in there, but it's interesting what she does. Can we just see that section again?
Oh.
And I understand you say she fell, and that's why she died. However, they will know from the autopsy if she was shot, if she was hit in the head, if her throat was cut.
So she was nodding.
Yeah, only for that one. So, you know, he said whatever, he said, you know, shot or something, and she's just staring. When he says slit throat, she nods like, you know, she nods a lot, but when she didn't make a move for those other things, that was a definite, I didn't do that, I didn't do that, and, oh, I did do that. Your body gives you up every single time, and that's what's happened here.
Interesting stuff. Well, now that Rice has laid it out, he hits her with the most vital question, and everybody, this is actually going to be hard to hear, so bear with it or skip a little bit if you need to, but we are issuing a caution here.
So we need to know now the full truth, full disclosure, right now, so it doesn't come out later that, well, Alyssa wasn't telling the full truth again. We need to have it all come out now. How did she kill her?
I didn't. She died.
How did she die? 9-year-old girls don't just die.
We were messing around, and she fell back with her head.
Was her throat cut?
Yeah. Oh.
Grandma. I'm not going to ask any questions right now until we get.
You know, occasionally there's an episode where I suggest people subscribe to the video, whether it's a one-off through Uscreen or through Patreon. This is an interesting one from the body language. And if you only want to do it as a one-off, go to mwm.uscreen.io and you can get it for $5. The reason I say that, Amanda, is halfway through that, the grandmother turns around because it's hitting her that her granddaughter is guilty here. Her granddaughter has taken a life, and it breaks her. And I can't even imagine what she is feeling or even what she could be thinking. It's held to the interrogation at the most important part because she has to get out of there. And the way at first she tried to turn her back so that she's not making a spectacle, she actually just wanted to let the interrogation go. This is my take.
Yeah.
She thought, I'll just turn my back for a moment. I'll regroup. And then, you know, but she's overwhelmed. She can't handle it. And the truth bomb that is dropping over her, it's too much.
It is just so heartbreaking to hear her. And as you said, she tried to turn around, she tried to hold it in, but she couldn't. And that's why she ran for the door. Unfortunately, they are locked in and they have to ask to be let out. But she had no idea that this is where it was going. I mean, earlier she was talking about, yeah, that she kept falling in the holes, that she kept, you know, having all around the place, and she thought this was just going to be harmless, innocent, you know, the weird, creepy teenage girl's going to be pulled in because she, you know, draws with blood and buries animals, you know, and that's all she thought it was going to be. And then what we find out is that she did, and her confession is, yeah, you know, when he said, did you slit her throat? And until that point, Karen was holding it. She's like, it didn't happen, you know, because, I mean, this hasn't been like slammed on her. It's come out easily from no, I have no idea, to, oh yeah, it was an accident, to yes, I slit her throat. And Karen at every point was thinking, misunderstanding, we're going to joke about this later, you know, it's going to come through, it's going to be okay. And then suddenly she goes, yeah, I cut her throat.
It has been building though, and there's been points where she's been teary because she's gone from thinking her granddaughter has no involvement to some involvement, even if it was an accident, and, you know, what will that do to her, to this moment where she realises her granddaughter's a killer. And that's very, very difficult.
It is. I mean, I don't think any parent should go through this, but the grandparents that have taken on these four kids because their own parents, you know, weren't great, you know, she thought that she was doing the best thing for her, and it hasn't helped. It didn't help, because we're at this place anyway. And as a mum, as a grandmother, you know, she would have felt that guilt and that responsibility that she's done something wrong as well. You know, that what led her to do this, you know, are the other three going to go like this? There's so much that goes through. And as a parent, you know, you don't want to see this happen. You want to believe that you've got good kids, but sometimes kids aren't good. And I think with this one, you know, Karen just needs to get out of there, because she needs to let the interrogation continue, because as we just saw, Price told Toby to shut up when he was asking questions. So for this to have to happen, I mean, this has cut this interrogation's mood completely off, because now we're now we're at a place that it's just so shocking, but it had to stop. And Rice actually says, I can't ask you any more questions, you know, because he can't once Toby left the room.
Well, that's an interesting point, because while Karen's left, Maya's left the room, Rice has to halt the interview. He actually offers Alyssa a drink of water, which she refuses. But Maya does return within a few moments without Karen, and she is now hysterical. Rice gives Alyssa his theory on what he thinks has happened, and where this goes is incredible.
I think you dug the hole ahead of time because you knew you were going to kill Elizabeth. I think you tried to dig the hole, like I said, and realized it was too hard to dig down that far.
Okay, I'm just going to interrupt Amanda, because for people listening to the audio version of this, they're hearing some screaming. That is not taking place inside the interview room. That is Karen outside, and I think it's really important to know that as we keep listening to this part. This is Karen outside the interview room just losing it. So we'll go back to it. I just wanted to explain that to our listeners.
I think you dug the hole ahead of time because you knew you were going to kill Elizabeth. I think you tried to dig the hole, like I said, and realized it was too hard to dig down that far. And I think you got Elizabeth out there. I knew you were going to kill her. And then you cut her throat. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have two things going on there. We have an actual confession. She agrees with his theory, but there was also another interesting moment in that clip, Amanda, that when we hear Karen wailing outside the room, Alyssa's head drops. She's caught up in the emotion of her grandmother.
Yeah, I mean, she probably never heard her grandmother cry like that. No. You know, she has been the strength of the family and all of this sort of stuff, to then hear her, because she has just lost her granddaughter as well. We have to remember that cases like this, no one wins, you know. And so she's now realizing that what her grandmother is feeling is what the victim's family is probably feeling too, and there is that loss. And she probably saw them, you know, upset that they couldn't find them, and she's going to see it again and again going through trial and everything. But it's just to have that going on in the room, and she's just her brain is outside. She is hearing what Rice is saying, and she just goes, yes. You know, it's just a single word that makes that confession done, and that's it. But, you know, there's all of this other stuff that we often don't see. You know, we see the confession in a vacuum. But what we have here is a confession that is happening with you know, a larger group, because, you know, her grandmother's there, and so there's this family of victims that's now coming through, and it's just it's so much more painful because it is so real and so raw, you know. And to not sort of move away from that, but we also have to notice that Toby, actually, when she come back from taking Karen outside, has actually moved her chair closer. So she's moved from sort of sitting back and, you know, leaning on the thing that's hanging out of the wall for handcuffs, to now sitting beside Rice. And I think that's an important part too, now that we're at that, you know, the raw bones part of this, and she's now sort of basically taken sides and sitting with Rice rather than being an advocate for Lester in this part.
Mm. Well, Rice is in interrogator mode, and he's now setting out to get more of the minutiae details about Elizabeth's murder.
What did you use to cut her throat with?
That.
A pocket knife, a kitchen knife, Okay. Where is that kitchen knife now?
It's around the sink.
The sink of your house?
I believe so.
Okay. So you brought it back to the house with you? Did you wash it off?
Yes.
Okay. How long a knife is it?
About
that long. What kind of handle does it have?
Black
handle. Okay. Did you stab her?
Afterwards.
Stab her body or where? Okay. How many times did you stab her?
Two.
I think. Did you hit her with anything first?
No.
Or did you just cut her neck? For what, you tell me what happened. From school about 3:30. Mm-hmm. What happened from then? Walk me through step by step.
I got home. I went in my room. I still went out before I turned 3:00-ish. Then I walked over and Elizabeth was outside.
When did you dig the hole?
I done that when I was trying to find a place to hide her body.
So did you dig that after you killed her?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So at about 5:30, you went out. Did you go to her house to get her?
I went over there. She was outside, so I was like, yeah.
You knew you were going to do it then? Okay. So you went over there about 5:30 and got her. Was Emma with you?
She was part of the way. Like I said, I ditched her.
Ditched her?
Yeah.
Did you have the knife hidden on you? Or where was it at?
Yeah, it was. I had it.
In your hand?
No.
Okay. So you went, did you walk all the way over to her house?
Yeah.
Okay. Show me what route you went.
I went back here.
Went and got her?
Yeah.
And then show me where you went from there. And show me with this pen where you went from there. You had Elizabeth.
Okay. Just pull it up and just follow that path.
Okay. And then you went up here to a creek bed?
Yes.
Okay. And where did Emma turn back?
Maybe we'll somewhere out here.
Okay.
Like I said.
So it was just you and Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. What did you tell Elizabeth you were going to do?
We were just hanging out at first. I don't know. I didn't.
You had the knife with you. Had you made up your decision you were going to kill her then?
No.
At what point did you make the decision that you were going to kill her?
When we had been at the creek.
Okay. Why?
Well,
you just decided. Okay. Was she facing you? Was she turned around? What happened?
Then she was turned around.
You just came up behind her and cut her throat. And then stabbed her twice. Okay. And is it true you said then you burn her body? Okay, is that part true?
Mm-hmm.
So is her body should still be there?
I burned it and then I scattered it and all through the creek.
Into the creek?
Yes.
Is the creek full of water?
Yes.
Okay. Because generally it's pretty hard to burn a body all the way. So it wasn't burned up all the way, was it?
No.
No, because it's hard to burn a body.
Right.
So you kind of pushed what was left of the body into the water. Was the water moving pretty fast?
Kind of.
Okay. Clothes still. You can still see her clothes. Did they burn off on the line? Okay. And you took the knife back home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what did you do from there? You had the knife, and then show me what happened from there.
I just walked back and headed inside.
Did you walk back this path that you showed me?
Yes.
You walked this path, came back inside.
Yep.
And then what did you do?
I went up to my room, went out, came down.
Put the knife in the sink? Is yep. that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about the hole, though?
It was just there.
No, it wasn't just there.
I dug it.
When did you dig it?
Oh, that's right. I was looking for something to do with your body, so I dug it.
When?
It was before I came home.
Before you came home from where?
From the forest.
It's all a bit matter-of-factly now, isn't it, Amanda?
Yeah, it is, but it's still a load of bullshit. So.
Is it?
Yep, there's a lot more to come. But it sounds like that she's just going with it now. But he's questioning her on parts of this because he knows it's bullshit too. So he's asking her questions. She's just sort of going along with it now. There's actually a point in there where she sighed. And it's like she was done. She was at that point now, and he can't push her much further. But yeah. He is still trying. But we can still hear Karen outside, and I think she's more upset about that. You know, it's that I'm not angry. I'm disappointed that she's actually going through more than what he's saying to her. I don't think she's even comprehending now. She's just going with everything Rice says.
Earlier he was going down this path of someone else being involved. Is that still in play here?
Well, he's still kind of thinking that she didn't do it alone, but he's sort of realizing now that she is giving the whole story, and there's no point that, you know, oh, I couldn't lift her up or I couldn't dig the hole, and there's all of that's going on now. It's seeing where he can fit a second suspect into it, but he's seeing that's not the case.
It was interesting that in the end there, she didn't want to refer to it as a murder, but instead said the forest.
Yeah, it's interesting because that is how she sort of takes herself out of what's happening. And as we know, her brain's outside with Karen now anyway. But we can see that this is starting to harm her. She's not coping now. She's trying to get through this. The adrenaline that comes through before when she finally said, yes, I'd killed her, you know, though she said it was an accident. She is now getting the second fear because now it's out. You can't take it back. And so she's trying to see how she can go soften through it. These doors now. Yeah. It's really, really tough.
Well, now that the story is out, the mood, well, you can see the mood in the entire room has changed, and now Rice thinks there is still more to the story. And with Karen out of the room, he is about to go for the jugular with his theory.
Who helped you?
No.
Grandpa helped you, didn't he?
No.
Who helped you?
No one helped me.
When did you dig this hole?
Why?
When?
Wednesday.
The Wednesday before all this?
No. Wednesday it happened.
After or before you killed her?
After.
You came back home?
Yes.
Went to your room? Heard Emma crying?
Mm-hmm.
Went to help her?
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been almost 6 o'clock in the evening when there was screaming. So when would you have had time to dig that hole?
Before I came back.
You didn't have a shovel with you.
I had a knife.
You didn't dig that hole with a knife. You did not dig. I was out there for 5 hours. You didn't dig that hole with enough. Your grandpa loves you very much, doesn't he? Your grandpa would do anything for you. I know you don't want to tell me. I know you want to protect him. But we have got to get to the truth in this. You came back. You told him what had happened. And he wanted to help you. He wanted to try to make this right.
So they don't wonder about anything.
Who helped you?
No one.
We're going to put them all on a polygraph.
Well, where?
Who helped you?
Someone.
When did you dig the hole?
Wednesday.
When?
After I killed her.
Not after you killed her. Listen. You've got to tell the truth. You're not telling the truth on this part. You're not telling the truth on this.
Well, it's funny, I was just asking about whether Rice still believed someone else was involved. It is absolutely fascinating to see we've got the confession and the interview's continuing. Usually they get close and then arrest them, but here Rice is taking his time. And the other thing I find interesting is that she is so emphatic about this argument she's having with Rice about whether someone else was involved. She is multiple times admitting to killing the girl. You know, when did you do it? The day I killed her, after I killed her. You know, he's getting multiple confessions, a reinforcement that she killed the young girl, because she's trying to push back at him about the idea that someone else helped her.
Absolutely. And to think that, you know, he sort of didn't know how to possibly throw the grandfather in as a possible suspect, but with Karen gone, he could say that, you know, and I think that that made her more defiant, because, like, how dare you think that, you know, you can put in my grandfather, I did this alone. And there's a whole time frame that they have to work out. But he's talking about one grave, but there's actually a second one that the girl's in, but we haven't even got to that yet.
Spoiler
so
alert.
It's quite interesting that he's, no, it's okay. It's not a spoiler alert, I promise. But it's just amazing. You know, he's saying, you couldn't have dug that. You know, someone must have helped you. You couldn't do it with a knife. This girl dug a lot of holes. Like, she knew what she was doing and she could sit there and do it. But did she do it before or after? That's the most important part of this. And the fact that he sort of said, you know, your grandfather loves you enough, he'd do anything for you. Like, whoa, that's hardcore.
That made me think, geez, the grandfather is involved. So I'm intrigued to see where this goes. So let's get into it. Rice is still pushing and he's hoping that Alyssa has a slip up. Will she slip up? Will Rice get what he wants? Let's have a listen.
You tell him the truth about how you killed her. I believe that. Because that matches your values. But you're still not telling the truth on the rest of this.
I did the whole Friday.
Watch it, look at me. Just look at me. Just look at me. You've done the hard part. You've done the hard part.
Yep.
Just tell the truth. The reality is, we can deal with the truth. We can deal with the truth. Tell the truth. You're okay. Tell the truth.
I took it Friday.
It's a day that was a dusty.
No one helped me.
Was it Ryan or was it your grandpa?
No one helped me. I did it by myself.
Because the problem is, without you telling the truth, we're going to have to start investigating all of it. Because we don't know what the truth is from you yet. We just know you're not telling us the truth on it. She's right. Toby's right. You've done the hard part on this. One thing I can assure you is I can assure you from working a lot of homicides for the last 13 years, I do the got a crummy job. The truth is going to come out. Every one of these that I work, where you're sitting here right now going through the agonizing part of not wanting to come this last portion and tell on someone else. The truth is going to, the full truth on whatever happened here is going to come out.
Okay, they didn't do it.
And tell me the full truth of all this. Why aren't you telling everything?
I did. I switched up the whole thing. Accident. But then I was up, it really was on Friday that I did the whole.
I know it wasn't an accident. I mean, I've already talked to you. I know you planned this. I know you had this in your mind. I know you thought about this, and I know you intended on doing this. I know that.
Whichever way she's lying, it's intriguing to me, because is she lying to protect the second suspect that Rice is really pushing for, like the grandfather? Or is she lying because if she had admitted initially that she dug the grave before the killing, that leads to intent and motivation and a planned killing? So was she trying to protect herself from the fact that she had premeditated murder, basically, and saying, oh, well, I dug the grave in reaction to the thing I decided to do on the spur of the moment? So there's a couple of things in play here. The other thing, of course, is Toby Myers' role. Now, she is now gunning for this. She has totally changed up her role, basically trying to help get the confession.
Yeah, and it's so frustrating. And I think Rice is sort of trying to get her out of the road, but he's now actually referring to her saying, you know, Toby said to tell the truth. You've got to tell the truth. And she's now getting upset because she said, I told you the truth and that wasn't enough. And so now I'm going to go back to the accident because you didn't accept that I did all this on my own. As you said, that they're trying to prove intent or whether it was, you know, a crime of passion. But she's been practicing for this for a long time. So I think she's a bit upset too that, you know, that he's providing all these other people that might be responsible in helping, and that she had like a secondary part. And I think she's a bit pissed off with that as well. But it's just amazing how they're still going on with all these bits and pieces.
Why is she pissed off? Because they're insinuating she couldn't do this on her own.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she told them everything they wanted to know, and that they still want more, saying, you know, oh, there has to be someone that helped you. You didn't do this on your own. And we also have to point out too, now with Karen out of this room, it's two cops against a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
That's important as well.
Yeah. Well, when their attempts to get her to name an accomplice fail, they turn to finding Elizabeth's body with Alyssa's help. She agrees. But they're going to need a bigger map, and so they decide to take a break. And as Rice prepares to leave the room, Alyssa breaks down, and Maya, well, she goes in again, being her advocate.
We're going to take a break here. I'll let you talk to whatever you need to do. And I need to get a bigger map. Yeah. I was trying to just tell the truth. That's all you have to do is tell the truth. There's parts of your story don't make sense. They don't make sense. They don't make sense even to me. Because I am your advocate and I am here to protect you. I'm not going to ask a question, but there's statements that you're making that don't make sense. It's evident that you're lying. And we treat people who can't be honest completely different than we treat people who can be honest. If you can be honest, if you can tell us what happened, even if you aren't protecting people you feel obligated to protect, we at least know we can help you, okay? So he's going to walk out, and like he said, he can't come back and talk, but don't you want to have told him the truth right from the beginning? This is your opportunity. It's your opportunity.
Okay, go ahead. Slit her throat, I strangled her.
Strangled her?
Mm-hmm.
You strangled her with your hands?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a knife on you?
Yes.
Did you cut her throat at any time?
Yes.
Cut her throat afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you strangled her first. Until she was unconscious, dead. And then you slit her throat?
Mm-hmm.
And did you stab her then?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do anything else to her?
No.
Okay. And then what happened after that?
I went up. Bury your body.
You buried her?
Yes.
Is your body still out there?
I think so.
You didn't burn her, did you?
No.
Yeah, I see you did. Still out there at the same spot?
I believe so.
Okay. Tell me about that hole that she did dig. The hole that I saw that she pointed out. What was that about?
It was going to be a catch. But
okay.
You didn't do it.
You didn't do it. Why? What was?
I couldn't dig that far.
Okay. How deep did she dig the grave that she's in?
It's not that deep.
Will you be able to point out on a map or take us to where she's at?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't burn her, did you?
No.
Did you bring the shovel with you?
Mm-hmm.
How did you dig the hole?
It was quiet and already talking.
Okay, when did you dig that hole?
That one was also on that day.
Okay, so you dug the hole on Friday and had it all ready. Did you leave the shovel out there?
No.
Okay. So the hole was already dug on Friday, and then you brought her out there Wednesday. Killed her there on Wednesday, strangled her, and cut her throat. Stabbed her twice. Put her in the hole, and then how'd you fill the dirt in?
With my hands.
With your hands. Did you do anything else to her body?
No.
Did anyone help you?
No.
Who have you told about this?
No one.
No one? Did you tell Dustin?
No.
Did you tell your grandpa?
No.
Did you tell your friend Kylie?
No.
Did you tell anyone?
No.
Yeah, I think Rice knows he's got the entire story now.
Yeah, and it was just as he was about to take a break, but Toby had to go in there and say, you've got to tell the truth. You know, I can't ask you the question, but what's the truth? I mean, you can't handle the truth. It frustrates me that she kept going.
Well, got it there, though. I don't know. I'm sort of on my side here.
Yeah, but that's not what her role is here. Her role there is help her get through this. And instead she's gone into interrogator mode. So I think that that's a bit hard, but we got that full confession right there. She didn't burn the body. There was a second hole that she had dug them both previously, and she had actually attempted to kill her victim previously as well, but hadn't gone through with it. So there's your intent, and so that sort of puts it down to murder one.
Yeah, I found it interesting. He was asking more about whether she did anything else to the body with the body, and I assume that was of a sexual nature he was trying to find out.
No. No, it was the fact that that she had said that she had burnt it. So he's like trying to say that that's not what had happened, that there was no sexual
intent. But that had been ruled out by that
intent. Well, no, because they hadn't found her yet. They just knew that she'd slit her throat, but as we just heard, she'd also stabbed her several times and strangled her. So so there was more to it than just a slit throat. Okay. But, yeah, he was expecting that, you know, that she'd sort of, you know, driven away in the car or something and dumped her somewhere else and things like that.
All right. Well, you better turn away, Amanda, because Maya is going in again, so don't watch this bit.
Is that the truth?
There's still something
There's still something. There's still something you're not telling. I can tell.
Oh, that's it.
You sure?
Yes.
I never told that either. Where's her cell phone at?
It should be with her.
Why did you pick her?
I don't know.
I just did. Was there something about her? Did you just want to know what it was like to kill someone?
Yeah, but if you wanted to know.
Was she just someone nearby, or was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rice is done. He just needs Alyssa to confirm the location of Elizabeth's body, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was done before, but then Toby kept going in again. Oh, there's more. You haven't given us everything. There's more. And she's getting frustrated, like, I told you everything. There's nothing else to tell you. I don't know what you want, which must be frustrating when you've actually bared everything and it's still not good enough. I think that talks about the way I was raised. But it's just interesting. It's never enough.
Wow, we're getting so real.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't be doing hang on. Right here and now.
Step up, folks. Hang in there because we're going another hour while Amanda lays out her life issues.
It explains a lot with how I am, but you know, but it's just going back to it. She's now exhausted, and you know, Rice was before, like halfway through the last episode, Toby got up and said, oh, I have to pee now, and so they had to stop and everything for her. Rice has tried to leave this room twice now, and she has sort of kept going. The poor guy's bladder is probably mega full and he wants to go out, but of course it's also to go out and check other things and make sure Karen's okay.
Well, isn't he getting the map?
Go through it and everything. Well that too, but he probably needed to pee. That this has been several hours, and he hasn't been allowed to move. But it's just crazy that Maya keeps going in again and again. She's there to advocate for the girl. I'm so sorry.
Well, still going. Yeah. I will say we got quite a confession because of her interference. But look, while Rice. He's left the room, as you said, Amanda. Maya keeps going, let's roll this next clip so Amanda can get even angrier.
Do you need anything?
Hey. Oh, God.
I want you to look at me. Yeah, it's been hard for you. Okay. Okay. There you go. 5 to 6 weeks, she's a psychiatrist. Do you have a counselor? Yes, she's there.
Girl. Awesome.
Yes. Okay. Communication, are you on?
Prozac.
Yeah. Okay. That's what your psychiatrist monitors.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The most supposed to take a psychology test
Tuesday.
First. Something like that.
At Pathways?
Yes.
What was that about? What were they going to do with that?
It's just like a 5-hour test.
Okay. So maybe if they've got your medications, right? These kinds of things to see how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. And do your nose out of your mouth, okay? You calm your breathing down, your body will follow you, your brain will follow you. Just in through your nose, down through your mouth.
What are they gonna do to me?
Okay. What's gonna happen is I'm unclear, they may take you back out to help you open the body.
Okay.
And then we're gonna take you down to the office, watch you, and make some decisions there.
Well, she seemed to do a little bit better that time, actually being an advocate there and looking after her.
Yeah, kind of. You know, she asked what's going to happen to her, and Toby says, oh, well, they're going to take you out to find the corpse and everything. She wants to know what's going to happen to her. She wants to know what happens after this, not just the procedure, but is she going to jail? Is she going to, you know, get on death row or what? That's what she wanted. She wanted to have some comfort, someone comfort her, because as we know, Karen had to leave. Karen couldn't be in there. And so she had no one advocating for her because Toby decided that she couldn't do that.
Oh, right. You've made your point.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You'll see how much of a point I've just made.
Okay. Well, let me read on. Because eventually Rice returns to the room while Maya gets Alyssa, a minor, to sign a legal document releasing her hospital records to her. Rice then covers bits and pieces like where the knife is. He still wanted to double check before they headed back to the forest where they would find Elizabeth's body. Alyssa would be certified to stand trial as an adult and went to trial in 2011. However, plot twist, the confession we just listened to was blocked by Justice Patricia Joyce and could not be used. According to KRCGTV, Judge Joyce said the juvenile justice officer, Toby Meyer, wrongly participated in a State Highway Patrol interview of the then 15-year-old Bustamante. The judge said Meyer used deceptive tactics while encouraging the teenager to tell the truth about the death of Elizabeth Alton in October 2009. Mrs. Meyer used deceptive tactics during the interrogation of defendant by telling defendant that she was there as the defendant's advocate, Judge Joyce wrote in the order to suppress. The deception likely misled the defendant into believing that Ms. Meyer was there to look after her best interests when, in fact, this was not her role. So she wasn't an advocate, Amanda.
Well, yes and no. So according to that GRC GTV article, it explains that she misled Bustamante by telling her that the juvenile court's only focus was treatment for her, which Judge Joyce believed implied that Bustamante thought that she would only receive treatment and not a sentence when she confessed. So Justice Joyce said that Maya's participation in the interrogation went far beyond her statutory role as a juvenile officer, which is limited to observation and protection of the juvenile's rights. So it came down to, as Judge Joyce said, the statements made to Detective Rice by Bustamante could still have been admissible but for the actions of juvenile officer Toby Meyer.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting. Fair enough. You know, she did overstep the boundary and she didn't need to. So, yeah. Look, Bustamante took a plea deal in January 2012, Now, removing life without parole and a death sentence off the table, Bustamante pled guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole and conditional release. She is eligible to apply for parole in 2024. Amanda, why is it second-degree murder, Amanda, and not first-degree murder? Was that part of the plea deal, was it?
Yes, it was. So first degree is that's what you set out to do. That's what the plan was. That's what you were going to do. Now, that is what happened, but she's also of a juvenile age, even though they tried her as an adult, which is a whole scene that I don't agree with. But it's to say that there was a possibility that she might have survived if she hadn't gone through with it. And it's just a way to get the death penalty and life without parole off the table, especially for a 15-year-old girl.
Okay. I've got to tell you, this was a fascinating one. We got a confession, even though it was a confession that couldn't be used, but at least we heard the confession.
I told you there was a plot twist in this one. I had to throw that at you because a confession's not always a confession. So,
well, consider it thrown and consider me knocked out.
Yeah,
that was a really good case, a very interesting case, and of course, when we look at these, we obviously have a lot of sympathy for the victims and you know, a young girl lost her life. But interesting to see why this girl did it, you know, her fascination. And when you look at all her photos, she was a little odd. You know, like I think of the one with the goth makeup and everything like that, that photo. But on the whole, yeah, she looked like she wasn't part of the cheer squad or something like that. But she looked like a normal girl.
Yeah, and that's what we keep coming back to in this podcast, is that these are normal people. You know, we all have a bit of a kink. We all are a bit odd. And it doesn't mean that that's what's going to make you a killer, that it comes from every walk of life, because I can give you a couple of stories where it is the cheerleader that's the killer. I mean, it does happen. So just because, you know, they're in the drama club and all that sort of stuff and she doesn't even go here, my daughter's going to kill me for saying that because that's my favourite line of all time, but it's about how their desire to do something far outweighs their compass to say that's wrong.
Well, I can't wait for the killer cheerleader story. That's going to be fascinating.
There's a few of them.
Maybe it's a special. All right, Amanda, thank you very much. We'll see you next week for a 911 call that has many facets to it. It's quite an interesting one. I look forward to it.
Yeah, that's another tough one, guys. Our 911 calls aren't always fun and joy. Actually, I don't think,
and they're not for everyone.
I just thought they're not for everyone.
All right, Amanda, we'll see you next week for that one. Until then, this is Monsters Who Murder. Don't forget you can go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions for lots of extra bonuses if you go there and have a look. And Amanda's now over there instead of Facebook, so that's where she's engaging with our audience. Or just to watch the videos by themselves, go to mwm.uscreen.io. Had to remember it then, but I got there. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.